you know, God is unchanging. He's immutable. He doesn't shift as the shadows. He doesn't go as the waves up and down. God is consistent. Our lives can, but God does not. So when we anchor to Him, He holds fast. He holds us fast. And sometimes that's exactly what we need in the good and in the bad. Now this week, we know it's the best holiday of the year, really. Sometimes it's the holiday people skip over, right? It's the holiday, certainly in the commercial world. The commercial world, it's already Christmas. In fact, it was Christmas in October, which is just, that just speaks about the commercialism of our society and how people want to push, sell. I kind of wonder if that really works, but maybe you're just trying to get ahead of the next guy who's across the street. But we don't want to skip over Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a beautiful holiday. It's a wonderful holiday. It's a one day that we want to stop everything and say, God, You're good. God, You're so good in so many ways that we should count our blessings and we should look and see all the things that God has done. Maybe looking back to the whole year and what was the year like? You know, the good and the bad, but what kind of things can we be thankful for? Can we make a list? Can we get out a sheet and just draw out a list? Some of you may do this, and you may do it in your journal, or you may just do it. Maybe you should do it as a family, or maybe do it together, as a couple, and just write those things down that says, we remember the things that God has done in our lives. We really see the blessings of God, each and every one. And I tell you, that will do something. That will do something very, very, very good in your life. Now, I hope you do that on Thanksgiving, or maybe have some kind of tradition around giving thanks. But really, Thanksgiving is one day. In the life of the Christian, it shouldn't just be one day, right? Give thanks on Thanksgiving, but it's more than just one day. And we need to look at how this needs to look in our lives, because how we give thanks as a habit, as a daily life habit, how we do that really does speak about our life in Christ, our life in God. It has great importance for us. It has great importance for others, for our relationships. It even has the ability to shape our lives in some very profound ways. So I want to look at that this morning. I want to look at really that there's power. There's power in gratitude. There's power in having a grateful heart. So let's look at that. First of all, let's start in 1 Thessalonians. Look at the Bible. Look at Scripture. Because we have some very direct words given to us by Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5. It says this. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I think we know this Scripture, or come to know this Scripture very well. It says that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. We're to actively give thanks. So that means when life is good and when life is not so good, when it's a struggle, when there's plenty of turkey and gravy, and when there's only a can of tuna. We're to give thanks. You know, we don't give thanks. And of course, it does say give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for everything, right? For all circumstances. But when you're in the midst of it, when you're going through it, the good and the bad. So yes, tough things happen, hard things happen. You know, we don't have to necessarily like those things, especially when they're harmful and they're hurtful. So we don't give thanks for all things, but while we're going through things, while we're in the midst of things, we can be thankful, even in the hard times. We must find that which to be thankful, right? Because sometimes it's simply adjusting our perspective. You know, in the Scripture, it's given in such a way where it says give thanks. It's given in a command, as a command. We're commanded to do it. So that's kind of expected that we are to give, with rejoicing and praying continually, we are to give thanks. It's a command given to us. And very clearly it says, it is God's will for our lives. God's will to, for you, for me, for us, to give thanks. He's purposed this for us. This is living out his will, his purpose for our lives, to give thanks. So in our lives, in our daily lives, the way we think, the way we perceive, how we live, it should embody this, this mindset. In fact, it just simply says it's essential. It's an essential part of the Christian life. Billy Graham says it this way. He says, a spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. So thank God in the midst of trials and every persecution. So for if we're attuned to the Lord, thanksgiving will, the spirit of thanksgiving will be there, will be in our hearts. It's a distinctive mark of a Christian. You can know someone in their Christian walk, and you can look and say, wow, I see thanksgiving in that person. I see a heart of gratitude in that person. That comes out, and it should come out in us. When people see our lives, they should see that distinctive mark of a grateful heart. So the Christian who walks closely with God is a Christian who gives thanks. A.W. Tozier speaks about gratitude and how God views gratitude. He says this, he says, gratitude is an offering. It's an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest of us can make and yet not be poorer for it, but yet richer for having made it. So everybody can give thanks. The person who has very, very little and the person who has a great amount. There is no difference in this regard because each of us can give thanks and we are better for it. Each of us is better for it when we give thanks to God. Isn't that awesome that it actually makes us richer and better and more blessed when we give thanks? But that's what God has done, and as he sets and calls us, his will for us to be grateful. A grateful heart is precious to God. And sometimes it's what we believe. Do we believe that we're more blessed when we practice gratitude? Because when we believe that, we'll do it, right? We'll do it. We'll do what we believe. And do we believe that it affects the aroma of our heart? The very content of what's going on in the inside of us, it affects very much. Colossians 3, starting in verse 15, says it. Actually, we see three times it speaks about thanksgiving. Paul says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Give thanks. Give thanks. We have so much to give thanks for. We have so much to give thanks for. In verse 16, it says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. You see, we start with being thankful to God for Christ, his Son, for the salvation we have, for the life we live in him, all that he gives us, the grace poured out upon our lives, to do what we cannot do, to overcome what we cannot overcome, to live fulfilled in Him. We are to be filled with this gratitude, not forgetting what we have in Him. And my life of thanksgiving represents the heart of God. That I am living, I am being a representative of God here on earth by living with gratitude, with a gracious heart. It's a trait that speaks of God. It's a trait that speaks of God in our lives. It's a characteristic that we actually develop in us, that the Spirit of God is developing in us. I think sometimes we must respond when the Spirit of God is saying, be grateful. Be grateful. You know, with Christ, I am rich and abundant, full of life. And I want to live unto the Father. We are to live unto the Father through the Son. And you see, that's the thing. The more we're filled with the life of Christ, the more our joy can grow. Charles Stanley, recently deceased pastor, recently passed away this year, actually. Had many awesome sayings, but one thing he says, as he preached a lot on gratitude, he says, gratitude produces deep, abiding joy because we know that God is working in us even through difficulties. Do you believe that God's working in your life even when you're facing difficult, hard times? That's a belief. Do I believe that I may not see it, I may not feel it, but God is working even now in the midst of hard things? So we can spend less time worrying and more time giving thanks. Our lives will be simply better for it. Because what we choose to do affects the inward working in our lives, in our soul. It affects the inward working. Philippians 4 also gives commands to us here. Philippians 4, verse 5. It says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever seen gratitude and thanksgiving as something that would guard your heart? That it would work in conjunction with peace? That those things coming together would actually give protection to your heart and actually help you walk in peace? We're called to lay down anxiousness, to always come before the Lord, always come before God. Don't be anxious about anything, but come before the Lord. Come before God. And don't come fretting and worrying. Don't come telling God every problem that you have under the earth and how terrible it is. Because we can tell God how terrible our situations are. You know, we can describe it quite well. We can tell Him in detail. And yet He knows. He knows the troubles that we face. But in all situations, in all prayers, come before God with thanksgiving. That's a great way to start a prayer, any prayer. Start with thanksgiving. Thanking God for all the blessings, all the things, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of trial, to give God thanks. We can literally begin to change a situation by giving thanks to God. When we're anxious, we can go to God. We can change even those anxious feelings when we start with gratitude. Thankfulness can even change the attitude of my heart. It can change what's going on the inside of me. It can set my heart in a very healthy place. It can really change my life. It can change the atmosphere in my home. It can change my relationships that I have with others. And it certainly can change my relationship with God. Andrew Murray said this, South African pastor from the 19th century, has written many books. He said this. He said, "Let us thank God heartily as often as we pray that we have His Spirit in us to teach us to pray. Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God and keep us engaged with Him. It will take our attention from ourselves and give the Spirit room in our hearts." That's a good thing. To take the attention from ourselves is actually something that Thanksgiving does. And it gives room for the Spirit to move in our hearts. So gratitude, it creates an atmosphere for growth in our lives. Where actually ingratitude does the exact opposite. Just a few comparisons between gratitude and ingratitude. Gratitude sees and gives thanks for what I do have, even if that's not very much. Ingratitude complains about what I don't have, even when I have a lot. Gratitude focuses on the source, God, and realizes there's more in Him. There's more. But ingratitude focuses on lack, and it complains to God about His poor customer service. Gratitude walks in a relationship with God. But ingratitude wants the gifts and the blessings, but doesn't care about the relationship. Do you remember Jesus healing the 10 lepers? Well, remember the story because He healed the 10 lepers and they start running away to go get officially passed off in society as clean. And they were running to get back their lives because they were excited they could get back their lives. But it was the one, right? It was the one who turned back and stopped and said, "I'm getting back my life, yet I'm going to stop and turn back and give thanks." And he bowed and he worshiped the Lord and he gave thanks. And Jesus said, "Is there only but one? Is there only but one?" We want our lives to be in order. We want our lives to flow. We want things to work out really well. And sometimes we praise, we'll say, "Thank you, God," but we're so excited about getting back to the life and the things that we want and the circumstances that we'll forget. And God says, don't forget. Don't forget the source. Don't forget where your blessings come from. You know, really, ingratitude is considered a sin. If we look at the Bible, it's considered a sin. If you read Romans 1, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but Romans 1, 18 through 32 describes a lot of sins that were going on in society as Paul was talking about a society that was degrading, and a corrupt society that had really fallen in a deep sinful nature. And in 18, I'm just going to read the two verses. It says, verse 18 is, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And then in verse 21, speaking about people, these unrighteous people, it says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, because they became futile in their thinking and foolish in their hearts. Their hearts became darkened." See, God wants to work something good in us. And if you go through the list of all the sins, it talks about the depravity. It lists ungratefulness. And so we also see in 2 Timothy, we also see him talking about in the later days, people will be selfish and lovers of self, and they will be ungrateful. They'll be ungrateful. It's put up there amongst other sins. Some that we consider very grievous, and it's put there amongst them. But God wants to do something in us that's good for us. He wants to work things in us that no matter what the enemy throws at us, there are things that cannot ever be taken away from us. And we can choose, right? It's a choice. We can choose, no matter what we go through, to remain grateful. We always know that our name is sealed in the book of life. It cannot be taken away from us. And we have gifts from God that are overflowing. Some gifts we've yet to access. We've yet to take hold of them and really discover them and know what they are, the fullness of them in our own lives. But gratitude helps us. It simply helps us to receive God fully and the gifts of God, the blessings of God fully. So if I have an ungrateful heart, I'm never gonna really be blessed, right? I'm never gonna really appreciate the blessings I have. Always thinking, there's got to be more, there's got to be more. See, gratitude is crucial. And it's even crucial when we look at this whole idea of how God wants to pour out blessings upon us. To receive them, you know, we have to have this heart of gratitude. It focuses my mind and my heart upon the giver, whether it's lean times or abundant times. It helps us. It actually helps us to come into a place of fulfillment, being grateful. And it's actually part of the growth that we need to actually find ourselves experiencing more of what God wants for us in our lives. Each of us can probably remember times that were not easy. Whether you're going through them now or not, you can probably go back to times that were lean or difficult. I mean, I can remember times in my life. I can remember times in my life where I didn't have enough money to fill up my tank, but I had $5. And that was enough for that day. It was enough for that day. And I could get to work, and I could come home. I remember days like that. I remember Christmases that we just made an arrangement, said, well, you know, we're not going to buy gifts for ourselves, but we were able to buy for the girls at that time. I remember that. That was years ago, but I remember that. And remember that Christmas, and Erica helped me on this because she was so grateful to just be able to buy those gifts and just to have Christmas together. And those little girls that were blessed, they were blessed. They knew love. They knew care. Their needs were provided for them. You know, I definitely remember the temptation of, I want it more. I want it more. But Erica helped me and realized, no, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're loved. We have each other. You know, there were so many things that we could count and say, no, we have a lot. We're blessed. We have to go back to those times. And those times are not to be shameful. You see, sometimes don't want to talk about those things. Those times that were lean, that were tough, where the can of tuna is what we did have to eat. That's what we have. There are no choices. That's what we have. But praise God for the can of tuna. And we remember those times. And I look back at those times and say, you know, Lord, that was like a classroom you had me in. Because you had lessons for me to learn. It was like the Israelites being in the desert. And we talked about that last week. We talked about the Israelites being in the desert, and it was daily manna. And it wasn't more than daily. It was like, it was that day, and that was it. It was that you gathered that day and you trusted God for tomorrow. And that was it. You had that day's gift, that blessing, but you trusted God for tomorrow. That's a classroom we all need to go through in life. Because if we don't learn those lessons, if we don't learn that, praise God, I have what I have today. Thank you, Lord. I'm trusting you for tomorrow. It actually makes us richer. It makes us richer in the aroma of our heart, in our mind, our spirit, our walk with God. Because again, it's more about the source than all the things that we get in our lives. So I thank God for those desert places. I thank God for those wilderness places. And if we remember back in Deuteronomy 8, and I say go back and read it again, because what he wanted them to learn in the desert, he wanted them to take those lessons into the promised land, because he says, before they go in the promised land, he says, do not forget. Do not forget your daily manna and who was your provision. Who was your provision every day? Do not forget. Lest you forget, you become arrogant and prideful, and you start thinking that it was you all the time. It was you. Didn't need God. And you get to a place where you don't need God and you separate yourself from God. And yet, we see that. People forget because they've lost the heart of thanksgiving. So Lord, God wants to prosper his people. He wants to prosper us. So whether we're in the lean or whether we're in the plenty, we give thanks to God and remember him as our source. Well, we know that a heart of gratitude is more than just saying thank you. It really comes down to our lifestyle and the way we live. Is it the way of life, our day in and our day out? Do we have the practice of gratitude in our lives? Is it a relational practice? Well, the Lord's had to work that more and more in me. I don't know if he's had to work on you. But sometimes being grateful, God reminds you, don't focus on all the things that you don't have or you wish you had. Focus on all the blessings that you do have. And some things are not for you. Sometimes we have to learn that in life too. Some things that we want to put our hands on, they're not for you. That's not for you. That's for somebody else. But be grateful for what you have and don't covet what somebody else has. And be blessed. And your heart will be joyful. You know, a covetous heart cannot be joyful. It cannot be. A heart that's always in want cannot be joyful. But a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, can abound with joy. So let it be a practice to count your blessings and let God continue to add his blessings to your life. So practice it. So whether tonight you get to eat Spam or you get to eat filet mignon. I thank God I don't have to eat Spam tonight, but maybe that's what you want. Maybe that's what you're ordering. But I thank God. But if I did, I would thank him as well. You know, even the medical world knows about the power of gratitude. In reading a Mayo Clinic article in December 6, 2022, they know. The medical community knows. This article from the Mayo Clinic said, expressing gratitude is associated with a host of mental and physical benefits. Studies have shown that feeling thankful can improve sleep, mood, and immunity, fighting off disease and sickness. Gratitude can decrease depression, anxiety, difficulties with chronic pain, and risk of disease. If a pill could do this, everyone would be taking it. Your brain is designed to problem solve rather than to appreciate. You often must override this design to reap the benefits of gratitude. You know, as I read this Mayo Clinic, they actually have a Discovering Gratitude program, a month-long program just to help people practice, develop the practice of gratitude. Because they know it helps their patients. Isn't that interesting? God knew it all along. He's known it from the creation of the time of the beginning of time. He knew when he created us that our relationship with him, part of our relationship with him would have to be connected with gratitude. So simply put, gratitude is intrinsically good for you. And it's good for others around you. It's good for your relationships. God wants you to experience the full benefits he has for you. Gratitude shows a healthy Christian, really. And it shows that we're growing in God. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says this. If we get it up. Yeah, good. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Our relationship with God, it's connected. How we practice gratitude, how we live out a heart of gratitude is intimately connected with our walk with God. Our relationship with God is always acknowledging Him as the source. So thank you, Jesus, for all your blessings. Thank you, God, for all that you've done in my life. So when we prosper, whether we're in lean or times or prosperous times, we should already have within us, built within us, a character, knowing that God is our provider daily. He's my daily provision. And that I can walk in a certain type of humility, humbleness, that knows that my prospering comes from God. So, are you thankful? Do you find yourself thankful this morning? Amen. Amen. Find ourselves grateful. There's so many things we can look to. And if you don't find yourself thankful, there's still time. There's still time to change, because it's just one degree of change, just turning back to God and just knowing and looking to Him and saying, Lord God, look at what you've done in my life. Look at all the things I may not have seen yet, or I may still be hoping for. And I know that you are faithful. But God, look at what you have done in my life. I will bless you. I will thank you. I will give you praise. He's good. He is good, church. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, God. We're going to end on praise because it's appropriate to praise Him. To begin and to end, that's absolutely appropriate. And even now, I want you to take a moment. They're going to start playing, but we'll sing together. But I want you to take a second. What are you thankful for today? You can, and I'm going to ask you just right there, just lift it up to God. We're going to lift it up to the Lord. What are you thankful today? Let God know from your heart what you are thankful for today. So can we pray? And as we pray, we'll go into our time of worship. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.